everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to 2 bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and more. Also, tune in Monday nights, twitch.tv/reallifesci-fi. We're kind of on and off with this, but we've been doing it pretty steady, starting around 8 p.m. Pacific.
And this last week, we were doing some castings. We were playing different audio auditions. It was pretty fun.
We were just ragging on actors.
The GMT just thing? I don't know what we are. They were talking about
talking shit. Yeah, so that's on Monday nights. RealLifeSciFi.show, that's our link tree. You can find all our stuff, t-shirts and stuff like that. I don't know. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. It's our friend, comedian Justin Lentz.
Hey,
how's it going, Justin?
Oh, it's going well. Coming to you live from Palm Springs.
Yeah. Palm Springs?
Oh, yeah. My wife and I got priced out of Los Angeles, I want to say like 2017, and we were in Vegas for a little bit, and then wanted to be closer to LA, but didn't want to move back to LA. So we moved to Palm Springs, and we found out when we moved here, we used to live on the west side of LA, but we did a lot of comedy on the east side of LA. I am 10 minutes closer to most of the theaters I go to living in Palm Springs than I was in Inglewood.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Thank LA traffic for that one. But yeah, Palm Springs is.
And I love Palm Springs.
It's great. It's like living in a small town, but like I live just outside of the gates of LA and don't have to pay LA rent. So it's like kind of a best of both worlds.
What? How far is that? I've never been to Palm Springs.
If you time it right, it's an hour and 20 minutes, because driving in Los Angeles is always timing, because it's like,
yeah,
you want to go, you don't want to be in the side of the freeway that has traffic. And if you plan it right, you can be on the side of the freeway that you're always jealous of. You just have to find out what time of day that is.
And the Cabazon dinosaurs, those are about an hour away, right? It's like 20 minutes past them.
They're like 25 minutes from Palm Springs. So they're maybe about an hour from LA, which I know those from The Wizard. And then my wife,
Pee-wee's Big Adventure,
from Pee-wee's. Yeah. So she's a big Pee-wee's fan, or big Pee-wee Herman fan. I was a big video game kid. So I'm just like, you mean the dinosaurs from The Wizard? And she goes, no, I mean the dinosaurs from Pee-wee. And I go, I think we're talking about the same dinosaurs.
I don't think I've seen those dinosaurs either.
They painted him like Pee-wee after he passed away.
In a gray suit?
Yeah.
Yeah, at least the T-Rex was wearing a gray suit. So they paint them seasonally always. So right now, the T-Rex is painted like Santa Claus, so he's wearing a Santa suit. And the Brontosaurus, I believe, is painted, I want to say like an elf. Like they paint like an elf costume on it. And then in the Valentine's,
I'm sorry, did you just say Brontosaurus? Because yeah, I don't know what that is, because that's not a thing.
Oh, funny you should mention that. For a long time, the Cabazon dinosaurs were owned by a Christian Science organization.
Yeah.
So they put all these signs all over them that were like, would you believe that anybody believed these things ever existed?
Hey, so thanks for coming. Now we're going to neg you.
Yeah,
and like, the gift shop T-Rex was all
the idiots believe in these. Yeah, it was it was very much like a marketing play. Like, we'll get them with the dinosaurs, then we'll tell them they're not real. Like, it was a fun time there. For about 15 years, they owned it.
I was actually alluding to the opposite of that, where science has now changed Brontosaurus to, what is it, Brachiosaurus or something? Oh, like, yeah, Brontosaurus doesn't exist. I have no idea.
Yeah, Platosaurus and Brachiosaurus. So the Platosaurus is the one with the weird bill, and then there's the Brachiosaurus, which is what we would know as a Brontosaurus.
But why wouldn't you just keep it? What's the point of changing the name?
Because it's Latin, so it's saying it's giving it certain characteristics. And I'm sorry, I worked at record stores for a long time. The only thing worse than gatekeepers at a record store is gatekeepers with science degrees.
Yeah. Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Northern California. I grew up in a little town called Cottonwood, which is outside of Redding, California, which is the northern meth part of the state.
Okay.
Sure. And got out of there when I was 18 to go to college in LA. So it was, I'm a California native, but like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't need a bumper sticker. I just, you know, I just talk weird, and hella is still part of my vocabulary.
Hell yeah. So how into like paranormal, you mentioned Vegas and Nevada being like a big kind of alien place. Like how into these things are you?
I like to say like, you know, sort of kind of occasionally, but no, it's ridiculously like I pay attention to a lot of the stuff. You know, I enough to where I call them UAEs or UAFs or UAEs, depending on what they are, or submersible like aerial phenomenon, like UAPs. When I was in high school, I used to sleep outside in the summertime to try to see UFOs in the sky. And this was like back in the 90s, like obsessed with the X-Files. Like I'm 41, so it's like I grew up in a time where like nerds weren't cool yet. And right. Like, but UFOs kind of were starting to be a thing that you could bring up in casual conversation and people weren't going to laugh you out of the room in the 90s. Mm-hmm. I follow most, I think some conspiracy theories are so outlandish, they're just fun to follow. But like,
yeah.
I mean, I follow, you know, any FOIA drop that comes out, I will watch any UFO documentary that comes out until it becomes so about the hosts and not about the subject matter. Because that happens all the time. Like it happens right. In paranormal stuff all the time. It happens in sci-fi stuff just as much where I don't need to know how cool you are. I need to know what you're researching. And I feel like Skinwalker Ranch did that where yeah. I followed the whole Skinwalker documentary series. But like it became so much about the weirdos investigating it versus the weird phenomenon they were investigating. Mm-hmm. I am a firm believer that Robert Bigelow knows way more than he's saying. Anybody who's that deep into aerospace and has that kind of contract connections, like that dude knows a lot more about 100%. What's going on.
Yeah.
And when you're setting your aerospace stuff up to defend against attack, that's not coming from terrestrial. It's set up to defend in case something happens. And it's like, he's playing 3D chess with what he knows and says he doesn't.
I don't know about that. I know Catherine Bigelow. She's a good director.
Here's my thing with Robert Bigelow. I think Robert Bigelow is a patsy in every sense of the term. I think he is a way to send information out into the public so it's believed by people that are going to believe it anyhow, but it's coming from a source where you're like, well, he's just a private entrepreneur. So I think that he gets handed information from research, R&D, things like that, to then pass on to the public. Because Bigelow Aerospace is one of those companies that does press releases that says like what the International Space Station saw and things like that. So it does come mm-hmm. from them.
Yeah. Well, I kind of know where you're going to land on this, but we might as well do it anyway. We do something here on the show called the Wow Scale.
Wow Scale.
Stands for Waiter Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. At the end, I will give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a wait. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to be weighed on the Wow Scale?
Oh, I'm ready for the Wow Scale.
All right. First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Ooh, yes and yes to the first two. The third one's a good one. I think yes, but I think it goes back that far. I think they've been a constant on this planet. And I think it's a thing where I think it's pretty hard to deny that they're a constant.
Question number 2, ghosts. Where do you stand on ghosts?
I don't think I believe in ghosts. I do believe in paranormal phenomena.
Help me out.
So I believe that apparitions exist. I believe that we do see things that would take the shape of what we would call a traditional ghost, like a figment, something moving. I don't think the origin of that has to do with the spirit of a human. I think it has to do more with time travel. I think it's an inner space glitch.
No, I like that. I like that. We get a lot of cross-dimensional stuff. I don't know if we've ever gotten a time travel answer.
So that's cool. I think it's a cross-dimensional thing, but I think it's where the dimensions that are close as far as where they're set in, like if we think of it as a prism, the sides that are touching, the sides that are adjacent would be closer on like a time-space continuum scale. So I feel like there's spaces in there where they cross over. And mm-hmm. I feel like it's like electricity. Like it's not a constant line. It's a line that alternates and undulates between the two. So I feel like there's drops in between the two.
You're almost as old as we are. You remember rabbit ears. You're tuning into a frequency. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not, kind of thing.
I feel like that goes with the same theory where it's like, so like when we look at galaxies and like things coming out of the James Webb telescope and things like that, there's a repeating pattern to them, and it's not always a physics pattern. So there's repeating patterns throughout biology and throughout science and all these other things. Why would time follow that same pattern? Like with electricity and with other phenomena we use on a daily basis, it's like, why would time scales? We know other dimensions exist. That's actually been proven. Yeah. So it's like, why would that act like electricity or like the way that gases move and things like that?
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing is like we've learned stuff and we're kind of stagnant with how we apply those new things to the old ways. So we're late to change.
The things that are glaringly out of focus when it comes to progresses and science and like what we know in the universe, it's glaring when something has hard lines. When something's black and white, it's like nothing's ever black and white.
Yeah.
Like there's always a little crossover, especially when it comes to the way the world works and our limited view of existence as a whole. Because I view existence, because I believe in aliens, I view existence as a universal thing. The universe exists way outside of this planet. So it's very selfish to think that rules on this planet would apply to other planets.
Right, right, yeah.
We know what we know, but what we know is a thimble in an ocean. So I guarantee you there's a million ways to produce energy or to travel through space that we will never comprehend because we're not that old as a civilization.
And the biggest argument for most people is like, it's just so far. Like, there's no way they're driving here. I'm like, yeah, take the word drive out of your vocabulary when in space. Like, their energies...
Keep it, but think that we've been driving for 100 years. We're a 500,000 years old as a species.
Yeah.
So a cave 6 miles away was unreachable 300,000 years ago. You know, like going from New York State to Alaska was nearly impossible 120 years ago. And now we have civilians that have built rockets to reach sub-level space.
Yeah, but they're insufferable.
Oh, no, no. I use the word civilian very lightly there. They could stay up there. Let's do an experiment. Let's see how far away we can get them.
Listen, we should definitely do that under the guise of we can't survive without you. Let's see what happens. And then while they're gone, we'll just take all of their money.
Yeah, and just redistribute it because then we all have enough money to be fine.
Right. Question number three, Bigfoot.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think there's multiple Bigfoots. I think we are seeing the evolution of those sightings because of high definition film. We're 3 years from actual contact with one.
Right. Like, I love that you say that because like everyone says there's no Bigfoot sightings anymore. I'm like, look around. There's way more now.
There was one 2 months ago that was so good. And it also showed. Did you see the one where the drone caught it walking across the hill?
No, I haven't seen that one.
They literally saw a cryptid on the side of a mountain and it's pretty clear and it notices it's being filmed. Like it stops because it hears it and it ducks down and you don't see it.
Oh, wait,
it like dissolves one of those, into a rock.
There's one of those that happened recently where it was a train circling the mountain and that in that area.
Yeah, because the footage has like an arc to it. I remember that part.
But there was one of these sightings of recent. It might have been that one where right next to that area is like a Bigfoot museum. And so people think that they were doing some advertising.
Well, okay, but think about it. Where would a Bigfoot museum be? It would be where there's a lot of Bigfoot sightings. That's going to draw people in. It's the same thing in Humboldt.
That's a great answer. Yeah,
one of the large Bigfoot museums in Humboldt, there's sightings around it a lot, but it has to do with that museum is at the center of a lot of man-ape sightings or things like that, depending on what you want to call it. I think it's a species we're seeing. I think it's humanoid in nature only because it's bipedal. I think that it is probably just as intelligent as we are. based on its, like when we talk about body to brain ratio, that animal would have a very large brain. Anything yeah. that's bipedal has to be able to control.
And they've been watching us. Well. They've been watching us fuck shit up for a long time.
And trying to stay away from us, which says something.
I've been to that museum in Humboldt.
Oh, I love it. That's like one of my, I'm actually working on a project that takes us right through there. That I am dedicating a day to hanging out around there.
What's the museum? Just a bunch of pictures of Bigfoot?
It's like a chronological, it goes over like what they believe its habitat would be, like what they think, like they go over like sightings in the area and why they think that they're valid. And it goes pretty deep into it too. Like it talks about the natural forest around it, why it would be really good coverage, like why it's hard. They talk about finding species in part of the museum where it's like, we're discovering new species every year. That's why we still have that as a viable thing that people do, is like every year that we go into the rainforest, we find 150 to 300 species. Why would that be consistent across the board in anywhere else where there's, you know, a large lush forest where there's very little people and there's very little oversight? It would be very easy to avoid people in a large national forest like Colorado, like the Siskiyou Area Forest, which is in Humboldt.
That makes me sad, though. That Why? Makes me very sad that the Bigfoots don't like us.
Well, they're watching us. They don't. I think that they're more. Well, I mean, how are you with new people?
I just want them to like me. I want all new people to like me.
I think I need to start a Bigfoot bar that's halfway up one of those mountains and just be cool serving to Bigfoots and be like, listen, this is a place of peace. This is a safe space. Safe space, not just for people. This is a safe space for anybody, including you, Bigfoot.
Okay, but we only drink human blood.
I'd be fine with that. I'd just be like, listen, let me call some people. They used to take spaceships into space, but I think I can get them out of here.
Yeah,
if I could convince a Bigfoot to drain Jeff Bezos of his blood, that's bucket list type thing right there.
I'd give up a pint to meet one.
Yeah,
All right, here's the situation. Vampires exist. Vampires can't get drunk, right?
No.
Or can they?
I don't think so because it's a grain. Like any alcohol is coming from a grain or some sort of, it's coming from some sort of vegetation, which is just like them eating, I would say.
So here's my new idea for a vampire bar. You get everyone drunk and then you kill them or whatever and drain their blood. You feed that to the vampires, and then maybe they can get like a little residual drunk off of that blood. What about that?
I think that would work, because then you're using blood as like a little choo-choo that makes its way into your body. So.
This blood is so thin, it's making me feel funny.
I always drink at jampires, because when we're drinking, there's a jam band playing. That's my accent. Jampires.
Why the do jam- I want to put $20 into the jukebox and play pool while playing my pool stick like a guitar?
Every show is completely unique.
I just bought $300 worth of vampire accessories on Amazon.
Question 4, psychics. What are your thoughts on psychics?
I think psychics is a scam. I don't believe in psychics.
Do you believe in the power of the brain to be psychic?
Yes, I do. I don't think that we have the language to translate it. I think that every instance of psychic activity that we've seen has in some way been a parlor trick, no matter how clever in advance.
Okay, last question. Do you believe in the simulation theory? Do you think we're living in a simulation?
I absolutely do.
So do I. Willie doesn't, so...
You don't believe in the simulation, Willie?
No.
You gotta take both pills. then you'll see the grid lines.
So this is kind of a crazy. I thought you were going to be much higher.
I know, right? I'm weirded out by the last two.
You're like you're like a two and a half.
Ooh, I'm like right in the middle.
Yeah, you're either a two and a half or a three. I want to call you a three just because of outside of the test. You seem to be very into this stuff. But
I super am. Like, I'm very into. Have you ever heard of the Montauk conspiracy?
Yeah.
If this is a rabbit hole, I started six layers deep in the rabbit hole and just kept going.
Briefly, what is the Montauk?
Remember the DeGoss and the ships, the Philadelphia experiment.
Oh, yeah. The Philadelphia. Okay, no, sure.
It's the theory that our world is a simulation, but it's a simulation that's gone out of control because it was a mind control experiment where they were trying to open portals to people's minds to see a perfect world. And there was somebody whose brain was too powerful and it overloaded everything. And it started in Montauk, New York, and it spread throughout the world because it became uncontrollable. And that is the universe we're living in now. We're living inside this out of control simulation that basically hit like critical mass and just kind of became everything.
This is also the connection of the person that claimed to have seen Obama on Mars, met Obama on Mars. It's like the time, the energy window. And, you know, Stranger Things basically pulls a lot from this too.
They do. Yeah. So Stranger Things, like the whole idea of like the portals and like having people like tuned to that energy and having like an alternate world, all of that is like straight Montauk theory. I feel like conspiracy theories lose their power for me if there's like, they have an answer for everything, but it's always the same answer.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not this because of this. Oh, it's not this because of that same reason. I feel like the less easy it is to explain the loose threads, the more I believe that conspiracy theory has weight.
That makes sense. Yeah. Because that's the more scientific approach, right? It's like, well, we don't know.
Yeah.
We're not gonna tell you how this ends. We're gonna test it and see what happens.
Science being messy explains to me why I believe that we're in a simulation more than anything else, because of how chaotic human beings interact with each other for no apparent reason. And then when you look at the history of it, that starts to make sense. But it's also like, yeah, but that doesn't explain like the chaotic things that happen.
All right. So 2.5 or 3, take your pick. Willie, hit us with that topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, Ley Lines, Earth's energy grids. Ancient megalithic sites seem to all lie on lines together, connected. Are these energies that these structures were built on? Nodal points and vortex points of energy? Are these just trade routes, and that's why these are all built on straight lines? Are they rivers of spiritual energy? Tonight, let's get into what the fuck a ley line is, and are these real? On Real Life Sci-Fi.
What do you got? Like, what's the, because I'm looking at maps of ley lines and it seems like they go everywhere.
Yeah, that was my theory on it too.
I actually thought that they were a little more accepted than they are. They are not accepted at all by most of the scientific community. In that same vein, I do believe that Earth's magnetic field and the energy, other energies created from, because if you look at how energy works, it is very geometric. So if you take, I mean, I keep bringing this up of recent, but like cymatics is something that's so new to us, vibrational energy. Yeah. And if you look at the cymatic patterns on these plates, these are a cross-section of three-dimensional energy. You apply that to an Earth because it has a core that is spinning metal, could be crystal of ancient civilizations believed some of them believe that it was a crystal. And so when you have this spinning metal with all this pressure on it, there is geometric energy emulating from this spinning magnetic core. I do believe that there are points on the Earth that have more energy than others, and there may be lines connecting these nodal points, these vertices of extra energy. And ancient civilizations somehow could perceive this, were aware of it. And there are so many megalithic structures that lie on these lines. Now, here's the problem with looking up ley lines. They have the Earth as a perfect sphere, and they apply ley lines as a perfect sphere. Neither one of those are true. The Earth is not a perfect sphere, and that energy is not, you can't just put it on. So there is a, this girl, Beth Higgins. You can go to Google Earth and look up her ley lines and see if you live on a ley line. But it's not accurate at all. They're very close. But the Earth is not a perfect sphere. The map they're using is not perfect. These, they call them subtle energies, got mixed into the New Age movement. And so they lost all credibility. And I also believe in dowsing. I think that you can find, because running water creates a magnetic field, some people can learn how to use these rods to find where the water is flowing. In the same vein, I think you can find these ley lines by using the same dowsing method. It is an energy that is not really detectable by a lot of the methods that we use, in the same way that we definitely have multiple magnetic fields in our body. Our brain produces a magnetic field that is measurable, and so does our heart. It's a different one. So it makes me go, oh, these chakra points, these might be different vortexes of energy in our body. We just only know of the two. We don't know of the other ones. I mean, you know, science is like, we are learning more about the body still. So in the same way that we have acupuncture and different chakra centers, the earth has different energies. And some of these ancient societies that built megalithic structures that we can't build and we don't actually know how they work, built these on these energy lines. And even through tectonic plates, some of the things have moved too.
Wouldn't it have been perfect when they built it? Or do the ley lines shift with the plates?
A lot of these structures were built around the same time, and they were using the ley lines of the time. With all the shifting, water has moved, areas have changed, you know, how arid they are, what kind of climate they're in. Even the precession of the equinox, our tilt of the earth is changing climates. And I feel like they may have all been built at one time and on the energy grid, and the grid shifting, and it might still work in some places, but most of these places don't work the way they used to. Picture a society that is capable of this, or a global society capable of harnessing this energy. Well, they've been gone so long that we don't know how these things work, but also a lot of them almost can't work because they've just shifted so much.
So you're telling me that farmers dousing to try and find water, but then it's just like, fuck, it's another ley line. I was dousing and I just found another ley line. I'm looking for water. What am I supposed to do with this energy source? Build my barn here?
Right. That's interesting. I watched a video of somebody showing off their dowsing at this other site that was, it's like a Stonehenge, but it's older because you can't really go touch the stones there. And he's just walking in and out of the circle with someone else is doing it that doesn't believe in this stuff. And he's like, I don't know what to make of this. This is working. You're seeing the energy lines.
I believe in dousing. It does work. And yeah. Science is like, whatever. We don't need to look into this. I don't know why.
Well, water's an electrical conduit. It's a conduit. Like water, like that's why you don't want to be a swimming pool when there's lightning. Is water is a very, very good conductor of electricity.
But why would two sticks move in your hand?
I don't think we know why. And I think that that's where the science part of my brain starts to disbelieve it. But the science part of my brain is also willing to accept it if science came out to back it up.
It's that's the thing. It's like, what? Why hasn't science looked into, and maybe they have, and what they came up with was, you know, not a confirmation of anything, which kind of makes me believe it a little bit more, because it's like, it's definitely working. I mean, like, I've seen people do it.
Well, in the same vein, a lot of people aren't aware of the magnetic fields of even our brain. And it was crazy for me to read that when you're having an epileptic seizure, it like spikes your brain's magnetic field, and that's totally measurable. And I'm like, that's pretty cool that they see these changes, because some people don't believe that we have magnetic fields. And I'm like,
that's weird too. Like, I understand the comparison you're making, but the earth is like not a brain. I mean, the brain is just like constant synapses firing and shit like that. Like,
but because of the poles, because it's magnetic, as soon as you, like, if you spin a magnet, you create a magnetic field, right? And because our magnetic field is so big, it goes so far out into space.
That's visual with the aurora borealis. Like, we can literally see that happen. Like, we have visual confirmation of seeing those waves and how big and powerful and where they move. We can literally see it.
What's the sort of Reader's Digest ley line power? Like, what is it? Like, what Because it sounds mystical to me. Like, why would I build a pyramid on the ley lines? How would that benefit me and my pyramid?
A lot of the population centers were early on were built around these. And I think that because we are electrical beings, we might actually be happier in these areas. But I feel like life flourishes more at these points. So there's the crops grow better, there's more animals, just the whole life flourishes better. But in the same vein, they think all of these triangles, the Bermuda Triangle, the Devil's Triangle, they've basically, because of them looking into these ley lines, they've basically discovered that there's like 12 of these triangles around the equator where weird shit happens. And it's just like a natural spike of vertical energy that they don't know about.
So I do not believe in ley lines, but part of the reason, like I feel like I'm showing why I'm a 2.5 on this scale, like with this answer, by the way. Mm-hmm. I don't think ley lines exist. And part of the reason is I don't think they go far enough, because we're talking about a two-dimensional scale. Like it's not a 3D thing. So ley lines are like points on basically a 2D map, 2D scales, a lot of the top of it. And so a lot of the ley line theories, because there is quite a few of them, set the Earth as not a sphere, obviously, but a dodecahedron. So it's a D20. So yeah. It's got this triangle shape to it, which is where the Devil's Triangle and the Bermuda Triangle and all of these things come from. I feel like they don't exist for one reason specifically, and it's because people have a thing in their brain that wants to see patterns in things. I think absolutely these are spots where there could be an electromagnetic element to them, and that could be why we see so many supplies and like grain and wheat and fresh water and all of these things in the same areas. I don't think ley lines have anything to do with it. I think ley lines are the human brain trying to come up with connections between these points. I think these points are random along the tectonic plates, and I think that they move as that plate shifts, and not just the tectonic plates, but as magma cools and creates a convection in the planet. I think that creates movement in these magnetics as well, because we are talking about a solid metal core on top of rotating liquid metal on top of then a very metal heavy series of crust, where it's like, yeah, all of that would point to conductivity. All of that would point to electromagnetivity existing throughout it, which we see with Aurora Borealis and we see with other things. But I don't think humans are smart enough to be able to conceive a thing as such as a ley line.
I'll say a mystic rebuttal.
Okay. That works.
Well, first off, I love, if you look at Saturn, Saturn is a big gas giant, you know. At the top of Saturn, there's a hexagonal pattern. It's a perfect hexagon.
Yeah.
And it's because I think the gases allow the energy to move more freely. So it goes in line with what you're saying. Like, oh, okay. So much rock and crust and all this shit. It has been suggested that some of these, they find so many elongated skulls around the world. So in that realm, it has been suggested that a being with an elongated skull would have a bigger brain and may be able to hear colors and maybe even be able to experience these magnetic fields. Obviously, well, migratory animals
like see greater senses. Like that type of species would have so much better sensory with its outside world than we would have. So it's like, I feel like that is definitely something I do believe in.
And so in that realm, I feel like most of these megalithic structures were built so long ago that we are just completely wrong about all the history of how these things were built, that they've inhabited them, you know, like there's no hieroglyph for pyramid, just stuff like that. There's not a fully one-to-one of on us understanding what they were doing.
Yeah.
And I love the stories of these giant aliens or, you know, the Nephilim or whatever, that like these old beings, I feel like, set up the grid and left us here to live here. And all the technology is lost. I know this is where it gets into crazy town, but I'm just like, yeah, we have no idea what the fuck. And if you look at all the different people that have come up with trying to define what ley lines are. They're all so different from each other. The geometry still works because geometry is the universe.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything's just off a little bit and we can barely recognize the energy from the ley line.
Is it only where the ley lines intersect is a source of power or energy, or is it all along them?
Supposedly where they intersect, that's where the vertices are. That's like Sedona, Arizona, supposedly crossing lines and where the pyramids were built and Stonehenge. Supposedly along those lines, things are built along the lines in between structures. That's actually how the whole thing came about. It was like, hey, if I go this way, if I put a line right here to here, there's like 12 sites along this line. So it originally started just with the idea that, wow, these things line up. And so if you look at it now, it's a geometric spider web around the whole globe of the Earth.
There was a specific map that they pointed to. I don't know if you've got it in front of you. I can't remember. It's like the Pierre map. So with that one, everything points to an area that they believed was Mecca. Is the one that I was thinking about, the one that I was looking at.
Where do they think it is?
It's like a partial map. It's a partial map of Africa, and it's supposedly showing ley lines, is like what they're saying. Like Willie was saying, there's like five or six, I would say, prominent ley line theories out there that would hold water. But they're pretty different from each other, and like three of them wind up in a cult. So it's like, really tarnishes a lot of like, I mean, if some of your research is pointing at a cult, you're going to lose a lot of credibility with the stuff that is actually ringing true. So I could see that.
What are the prominent theories?
One of them goes back to Plato, because he mentioned that the Earth was made up of like 12 different pieces of leather, and like, he's describing, you know, these a dodecahedron. And if you put that on top of the Earth, it's weird how it lines up with the crustal plates out in the middle of the ocean. So that was the first time they're like, oh shit, you split the Earth up into 12 pieces of leather, put it all down. And these seams are like the energy lines. In the 1920s, there was a guy, Alfred Watkins. He was noticing the straight line between the historical sites, and he kind of brought up it in the modern era, but also attached it really hard to New Age stuff. In all of these ones, like there's one in the 60s, there's a guy, John Mitchell. He wrote a book called The View Over Atlantis in 1969. The biggest defense of it not being real is like, man, you can back engineer anything. You could take 100 points and make them connect, kind of like, and so when you apply this to, you know, the Fibonacci sequence or distances, a lot that what this girl, Beth Higgins is saying is that, and somebody else was saying it too, that the craziest thing about these lines to them are the distances in between big megalithic structures coincide with frequency harmonics, that like the distance from here to here actually is the same distance from one vibrational key to the next one. And so that's kind of where I get lost going like, oh, wow, this is crazy, because when you look at a lot of these sites, ancient megalithic sites, it's almost like they took all of their knowledge and put it into the building of that. So like even Stonehenge, you know, like I don't think a lot of people know, but sure, there are multiple circles, but it actually correlates perfectly with our solar system. So Stonehenge is a map of our solar system, and it has alignments throughout the different times of the year. So it's a calendar, it has math in it, and it's got the orbits of all the different planets built into it. And I'm like, that's just really fucking crazy. And you look at some of these temples that were built in Egypt where they coincide with,
But are there any theories on like how they knew to do this? I mean, like,
not at all. And it's so like, I would say kind of new still, that like a lot of people don't believe it. And because, oh, it's just these stones standing up and they're figuring out how they put these stones together. And, so the, the astronomy and the intelligence behind it is, to me, says that these things were built to teach us, maybe not that the society built and be like, let's take everything we know and put it into this. It's like, no, secrets of the universe were built into this structure for us to learn from it.
It's hard to wrap your brain around certain things in humanity as we know, but with like a lot of the theories out there is we're basically the fifth iteration of civilization, like humanity. Like we're the fifth iteration of what we would call a civilized society, but we don't know anything about the other ones. We don't know anything about, like, a lot of it goes back to like finding the Rosetta Stone, things that we don't understand that we know come from certain places, but we kind of are at a loss to explain their origins. That kind of deals with a lot of, I would say, if ley lines had a purpose or if they knew why, a lot of the theory on the why is that it's been lost to like an ancient civilization. Like, hey, Justin, the reason it was done. Yeah.
I personally believe that the Library of Alexandria was burnt down on purpose because it had so much information about previous civilizations.
Oh, absolutely. I think the burning of the Library of Alexandria has more to do with control than arson. Like, it has to do with, it's really hard to sell people on the idea of a monotheic god if other things are coming down from space to assist us.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally think it was all the, it was Christianity, Catholicism. Yeah,
it's Western religion. I mean, Western religion versus Eastern religion, one of the biggest differences that you'll always see is the representation of multiple deities and multiple forms of a demigod and Hinduism and things like that. The minute we get into Western religion, it becomes monotheic. It becomes, with Judaism, there's one God. With Christianity, there was a God, and then he gave his son, so technically there's still one God. Catholicism works on the Holy Trinity. Those three parts become one. It all breaks down to, if the source that's telling you yes and no is multiple, it convolutes the waters. And the way that we look at Western religion is we look at a deity to tell us right and wrong, heaven and hell, things like that. So it's the thing that we can look to as a source for morality, but it's also a source of control. So all morality is control, but like, if you still have a library that exists that has documentation from previous civilizations that kind of show you the pathways, it's not in everybody's best interest to have that as public record.
Yeah, when we and that's look why at things the, like the Crusaders Vatican is filled
absolutely
with information that's not public. And I want to bring up this
library. And that library goes deep into the earth, and we don't want to talk about how deep it goes.
Yeah. There's this, have you guys heard of Spider Grandmother?
No.
There are a lot of, First Nation tribes, societies, whatever that believe in the Spider Grandmother. If you look her up on Wikipedia, it's just like, oh, it's just a myth of this, whatever, someone who looks over us. But the oral tradition suggests that Spider Grandmother, and there's an obelisk statue that represents her. But
hey, that brings up some really terrifying images, by the way, when you look that up.
The story is that these people would pound the earth, vibrate the earth, and the vibrations would go to the crystal core of the earth, and it would bounce back and show them points of healing. So they would find points of healing on the earth by vibrating it. Like, oh, it's just, it's a cool story in this realm of ley lines and earth energy.
Is there a modern anecdote about ley lines? Like, is there like a major metropolis who only exists? I mean, if you're thinking about these ley lines, I'm looking at this map, and I don't know how much any of this is vetted or whatever. Looks like there's one almost on the border of Mexico. I just mean, like, if you happen to this society, our society, if you happen to just luck into founding a city on one of these like intersections of the ley lines, wouldn't that make your city awesome? And like, right. Is there an example of that?
And anecdotally, you know, Japan, China would be great. Like huge Mexico City, like this, these cities that are just too big to be real.
Yeah.
Well, and part of that theory is that Atlantis was on one. Is like, there's a lot of the ley line theory that goes back to that Atlantis was an intersecting point.
Right. I kept looking because I believe the Rikat structure is Atlantis, and I kept trying to find which ones had Atlantis on a nodal point. And I mean, there are a couple that are close, but they're definitely not right on.
No, like, especially if it's on the Rikat structure. Like, it's that one's kind of off of all of them. I didn't see that on any of them.
Can I just like open a liquor store on one of these ley lines?
It'll ley lines junior market.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll like the universe will help me.
It's that you can like your buzzball sales will go through the roof.
So, you know, I quit drinking coffee and I don't need caffeine. I just like something. I like to drink something warm in the morning and it can be anything.
Yeah.
I've been homeschooling my kid Moose. He's 6 now.
Right.
And I just, I'm trying to find other ways to be healthy and focused. And I've been looking into all these different mushrooms to take, you know, like lion's mane and cordyceps and ashwagandha and turmeric, just like different ingredients that I think are probably good for me. And I found this little drink that has all these things. It's called Magic Mind. It's like a nootropic. Listen, I don't get enough sleep. For years on this show, when you ask me how I'm doing, I just say I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like I feel regular again. And I'm more focused when I'm trying to teach Moose. I don't know, dude. I'm pretty happy with this stuff called Magic Mind. I'm into it now. I'm hooked. And they have this at Sprouts now. So if you go to Sprouts, I don't know, check it out. I think it's worth checking out. The ingredients in it, I believe in. And it's great to have it all in one little tiny easy shot.
If you'd like to give it a try, head to any Sprouts across the country, or you can go to magicmind.com/RLSF. And if you want to get a subscription, you can get one up to 50% off with the code RLSF20. Word.
Yeah. But but that's kind of the question. Like, is it like a proactive thing where you have to understand how to use the ley lines, or can you just luck into their power? Can you just luck into just like harnessing that energy by simply being there? Or do you have to know? Ah, fuck. I hit my earbuds again. Shit.
What happened?
I usually I don't have a cord, but my fucking earbuds are dead. And so now I keep hitting the cord and it hurts my ears. Oof. I'm so sad.
In the realm of feeling this energy, I lean towards the idea that you won't feel a lot of it if you're wearing rubber shoes. Because it disconnects you from the energy of the earth. So you can't be barefoot.
I've heard that a lot. It's like the idea of being barefoot in areas to like feel what the earth is doing. But it's also like, I live in Southern California, which means most of the time I'm standing above like 8-9 feet of concrete. And like,
yeah, and there's dirt on top of that. So
yeah,
it doesn't count.
It's like,
that seems a lot like a sort of like a kill switch for a temple where you're like, no, like ley lines are real, but not with what you're wearing. Like, yeah. It's just like, just this predetermined, like, you'll never figure it out. You know what I mean? Like,
or a good way to sell merch in front of your temple.
Yeah. And be right.
Like, no, you're not wearing the proper attire.
Yeah.
You gotta throw one of these guys on.
These wood shoes.
It's only Tevas and Big Dog shirts. That's the only way to really tell them something.
You know, they're trying to sell these Faraday cage hats and they're like $90. I'm like, hey, tinfoil's pretty cheap.
Yeah. Also, it's the idea that people think that they're as smart as Faraday when it comes to stuff. And it's just like, that guy was working on a whole different level of understanding how mathematics work. But the only thing that we've really been able to take from it is we know how to block things and we know how to destroy computer technology if we need to.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, the cage doesn't work if it's not sealed. You can't.
No, just it has to be sealed. Yeah. Because otherwise there's a whole bottom where your head is that it can just leak right out or in, depending on which one you're trying to avoid.
Justin, I told Wade this, mentioned it before, but I went to this crystal shop recently and they were selling grounding in shoe inserts, but like
it's still in a rubber shoe.
Yeah. $100. They're only $100.
I work with electricity a lot. I have a grounding glove, but it's a very different type of science. It's more than not dying while I'm touching electricity science.
Sure.
Yeah.
It works well, though. I didn't have to go to a crystal shop for it, though.
I used to build computer boards. We always had to be grounded.
Oh, yeah. You got your little bracelet hanging off you. My wife is a huge believer in a lot of stuff that winds up pulling us into crystal shops from now time to time. I'm literally looking at an evil eye above my door right now. So it's like, I don't think that there's any harm in it. I think that knowing that this stuff exists gives you reasons to focus on the positive things that are happening to you at random. With ley lines, it's like, we're seeing these things in a straight line because of, you know, positive things happening. I think that when we see the negative side of it, so I believe that the Bermuda Triangle is a methane. It's a bunch of methane deposits underneath the ocean. Like, I think that's what it is.
I dig that. I'm in.
And
that.
I think that
it goes up into the air too. And
yeah, and basically anytime that there's any type of seismic activity around there, when it breaks one of these methane shells, and that methane is light enough to go right through the ocean and right into the atmosphere, it screws up navigation, and it also can take down a plane, because if enough methane is released, it's gonna remove a lot of that air buoyancy. Methane is a lot lighter than nitrogen. Just
drop to the bottom of the ocean floor.
Well, it basically makes it like a carbonated beverage. So it would be so many bubbles coming up that you would lose the surface tension of the water because it's being broken by all these methane bubbles, and it would absorb the ship just like if you just dropped it into a big thing of boiling water. It would just go straight down.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's a lot of what's going on with the Bermuda Triangle. The Devil's Triangle is a lot different than the Bermuda Triangle. So I think the reason they get connected a lot is because of their location and because ocean triangles that cause weird shit to happen. But the Devil's Triangle, I think, has a lot more to do with ocean currents, and it has a lot more to do with it's literally an apex of like two different oceans meeting. So you're dealing with very different, not only water temperatures, but different, you know, as far as fluid dynamics goes, you're dealing with a lot of things that are pushing into each other that'll cause a lot of bad things to happen. Electromagnetic included in that.
Oh, yeah.
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 Because, that's why when you have something like the Bermuda Triangle, it screws up all of the navigation equipment because it's expecting oxygen or nitrogen and it's seeing a massive amount of methane in the air, and that's going to screw with every instrument because these instruments are dealing with buoyancy. So any shift in that buoyancy is going to throw those instruments right through the roof.
Radical.
So what are your thoughts on ley lines? I mean, you said you don't really believe in them.
I don't. I think that they are civilizations. Civilizations need to connect things is why we have like a modern ley lines map. I think that if these things were ever connected in general, it has to do with going more towards what Willie was talking about with like being able to have this resonance of coming from the earth, not just like set on a map plane. Like, I think if these places are sitting on someplace special, it has to do with what's coming into them from the ground up. I don't think you could track them on a map. I don't think that they happen in such a way where they are at these apexes. I think that that would be too perfect for science is, I think, the easiest way to say it.
Yeah, it's like your thing earlier where it's like, well, if it's definitive, it's not true, right?
Yeah, and I think that that's anybody who says that they have definitive proof of anything is not leaving room for that proof to change. And I feel like ley lines is a more simplistic way of explaining supernatural phenomenon in our existence with a map. And trying to point at something that connects all of these things, even though these things are happening at different times and look random because we're looking at different eras of civilization. We're looking at different, mm-hmm. you know, we could be looking at completely different climates too, where yeah. if we're thinking about like the Fertile Crescent, the Mesopotamian Crescent, which is the birth of civilization. It's where all science points to civilization existing near Mesopotamia or somewhere in Northern Africa. So those parts of the world at that time were known as the Fertile Crescent because, you know, fish aplenty, you could plant crops, everything would grow there. But as we shifted and as, you know, as the climate changed and things like that, that became a barren wasteland. So anybody who is generationally trained to farm to feed their family or their community or their tribe is going to have to move where that's a possibility. And I think when we see things like, I mean, even going back to like Machu Picchu, when we talk about like Machu Picchu and like things like that, and those being in these ley line positions, I think that those were built at different times, which have a lot more to do with the electromagnetics coming from the ground in that area than it has to do with physical map. Like, and I think that's a way to mark a special place. Like, I don't discount that at all. I think that any of these monuments that we can't explain are marking a very special place. Whether we know it or not, that has to do with something.
Yeah, and the time has shifted. The ground has shifted.
Well, like, and we know the ground moves with Pangaea and all of that stuff. So any map is eventually either going to go out of date or is not going to be accurate in the first place.
Right. So you kind of believe in the concept of it, but not the explanation.
Exactly. I think that it's too clean of a ribbon to put on a very messy package.
Right.
Right. I love the way Justin explained it. I'm on board with him. I do believe that these exist, but we just don't even have the real methods of analyzing them. And to tie them to ancient civilizations, it's all off. And so the map is fun to use on the Google Earth, the Beth Hagen's map, but you know, it's just not accurate. It's not anything.
The map that I was referencing, the ancient map, is really interesting because it's a partial map. So it's something that you can see where people took that partial and then added on their own thing to it to make it a complete theory.
Mm-hmm. It's great because this like makes me believe more in chakras.
Right. I'm down for anything that's pro chakra.
It would be so much easier to believe in that shit if my life wasn't the worst.
Well, I blame that on COVID because all of the good yoga studios shut down during COVID.
Justin Lentz, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
If you're in or around the LA area, the last Friday of every month, Justin does a show. You can go to fartscomedy.com. Yes, I said fartscomedy.com for tickets. What's the venue?
So we're at PDA Space in Altadena, which is Claire Walner, who just won the Los Angeles Fringe Festival this year. Pretty brilliant performer, started this cool little black box theater that we do a lot of events at. Our next show is going to be in January. I believe it's right now, like we have a lot of good headliners. It's similar to the way that old LA shows used to work. Like you get to see like five or six comedians doing like 10 to 15 minute long sets. So you get a really good idea of kind of who's out there. It's a really good way to introduce yourself to like new comics too.
I'm gonna have to make my way out there, I guess.
We're talking about the January show, we have Guy Branum, Amy Miller, and Matt Kundinson on this one. So it's going to be a good time.
And then, do you want to throw out any other plugs or socials or anything like that?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at JustLentz. That's Just Lentz. I usually post when I do events and stuff like that. I'm out in Palm Springs first and third Mondays. Me and my wife host a very fun open mic in a recording studio. So if you can ever make it out from LA, it's a Where's very fun time. It's at the Rock Gallery and Sunny Sounds in Palm Springs. It's at 333 North Palm Canyon. So it's right in the middle of downtown Palm Springs. So we do a show where you do your set and it's actually recorded and done by an engineer. And then we email you your set at the end of it. So you get like a professional quality audio recording.
That's awesome. I'm going to have to make a trip out there. Like
it is a very, very good time. we're building a little small comedy community out here that's really supportive of each other. So
we
really
love the thrift time. Shops out there. I love gambling. Lots of pools.
It's a blast. And, you know, sometimes, like, if you can bear the heat out here, you can get really good deals on hotels and Airbnbs.
Cool, man. All right. So everyone check that out. It's Justin Lentz, fartscomedy.com. Dude, thanks for being here. We're going to continue the conversation in our bonus episode. Go to reallifesci-fi.com. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to that. Well, thanks everyone for listening. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time.